We're back again with our Rehab Tech Talks. We're going to be talking about how cosmetics and fashion brands are using technology in new and innovative ways. It's myself, Rosie, Gordon and Peter. Do you want to say hi?
Hello.
Hi.
And we've also got a special guest this week. I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Dua and I'm an account exec at Rehab.
So yeah, exciting times. Let's go.
So we should state up front that you can't really see us, but you know, out of the four of us here, there's probably 50% that are more concerned with fashion and cosmetics.
Thank you very much, Peter. I appreciate the compliment.
But we're going to let Rosie and Dua do most of the talking anyway.
Oh, you were making the same joke.
Yeah, we're making the same joke. Never mind. That's all right. Carry on. Yeah. So why are we talking about this? I think it's we've been working a lot in this area. In the past couple of months, we've got a really exciting project in the works with a global cosmetics brand, and we've been doing lots of research, and also a general interest in seeing how companies are sort of pushing new technologies like augmented reality and computer vision, because I guess for many reasons, partly because they're very visual things, visual areas to work in, right?
Yeah, they're obvious applications, aren't they, in the areas of fashion in particular. You know, you want to see what something might look like, similar products to a visual search. It seems to lend itself, and they're very much the pioneers in terms of consumer technology of these new things.
Yeah, so just this week, ASOS rolled out their Style Match tool globally, which they've been trying for a while in the UK and on iPhones, but is now available, I think, in every country where they sell, on every device that they sell to. And that is a typical visual search tool where you can take photos of an article of clothing or a piece of fashion that you like, and they will match it to products in their range. I know they're not the only people doing this.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian, we spoke about this last week. She's made a product called Screenshot, which is where you take a photo and you are recommended a similar item of clothing.
I guess she's going for a different market from ASOS though, right?
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think maybe it's like an overarching idea that it's all about having something or knowing something instantly. So if you see something, I want to take a photo of it. I want to know, is it still available? Is it this season? Is it last season? Is it on sale? And I think that's where the rise of tech is really playing a part, because the brand's everyday interactions are all about being instant, personal and everywhere. So maybe her audience is different, but I think the overall concept is
potentially
pretty much the same.
Potentially with ASOS, it's less expensive. The products are less expensive, and with Kim Kardashian, potentially you've got like brands like Gucci on there. I think what's really interesting is with ASOS, they actually get, I think it's something like 8,000 new products a month, and 70% of orders are done on a mobile phone, which I think is interesting, because that would mean that is something that you might adopt more, because if you're using a mobile phone to do your orders anyway and you take a photo and you use that feature in ASOS, it seems like more of a seamless experience.
Yeah, and we've discussed before, like, the reason why visual search makes so much more sense is because sometimes you don't always know how to describe the thing that you're looking at. You might, I mean, this is just me and I'm terrible, but I might say, oh, it's a black strappy thing with leather, trim and tassels. And
that sounds like a car. Either that's a car or bondage equipment. It's a leather thing with tassels and straps.
But, very Western.
Yeah. It's true.
Should we buy that and dress Peter in it? That's Lederhosen, I think, is the place you're going to get for that, Peter.
But whereas when you take a photo of that thing, the visual search will pick out all the details and match those really closely to the details that already exist in other photos. So it's, I think, superior in many ways to our ability to describe, or most people's ability to describe something.
Certainly yours.
Patterns, colours, even materials. I don't know how the camera manages to work out materials, but I think I dragged and dropped a pink vinyl coat. Probably quite hideous in your opinion, but I put it into like Google Images and loads came up, and I just thought it was interesting how it could recognize vinyl and PVC compared to like, a normal trench coat. So clever.
Computer vision just making people's lives easier, just a more natural way to search. I see people on the train as well doing constantly just using this stuff either by Instagram or just comparing items, accessories, clothing, showing it to their friends. people don't quite realise the technology they're using, nor should they really care. It's just a frictionless way for them to find things that they like easily within their favourite environments.
Yeah, I mean, again, we've said this a few times, but I'm super excited about computer vision, about how it unlocks knowledge about the world around us. And I think it's really interesting that fashion brands have been the first to adopt this because it's such a natural fit for what they do.
Yeah, definitely. With the fashion brands, they're slightly behind in terms of the tech that's happening at the moment because cosmetics have really kind of taken over with, for example, the first thing that started off was a foundation colour match, which is, for makeup lovers, foundation is like quite an essential item in your makeup bag. So where brands started off with a selection, like a library full of different shades and colours, and it's actually one of the items that makeup lovers find the hardest to buy because there are so many different shades. And there's actually a stat that 9 out of 10 women are wearing the wrong colour, but because they don't want to go through the experience of going in store to find it, brands have caught up on that, like L'Oreal with their Makeup Genius app. And you can just do it virtually. You can take a photo and it will try and match it from your library. And other cosmetic brands are sort of jumping on with similar ideas about, you know, shop the look. There's 10 different looks and you can use your camera lens as a mirror to try and find out which look is your preferred, and then it'll take you to the, you know, product page. So I think cosmetics are really ahead of the fashion world, but it'll be really interesting to see how fashion brands actually step up their game in 2018.
I think how you buy makeup and how you buy clothes are quite different. Like, I think occasionally you'll see a makeup look on someone and be like, wow, that's an amazing smoky eye, I really want to do that. And you might Google, like, how to do smoky eye. But if you look at Instagram, I think the way that a lot of consumers buy clothes is that they see something on a model or on a celebrity and they're like, oh my gosh, I want those trousers. And, you know, that's more of like a natural thing to then put that into a computer vision thing. But I don't think that as many people see makeup looks and try and buy that look. I think it's more that
I'm not sure. I think they do. Like, for example, Charlotte Tilbury is actually how they were selling the products, because they had about 10 looks and you can actually buy the products. So you say, I want, I don't know, the shimmery one, and then it will give you the list of all of the items. And they haven't actually done it as an app. They've done it as a magic mirror, which is in their store. Mm. And you just go into the store and it's kind of the same concept. You look into the mirror and you can try on the different looks. And the idea behind it is that they want to try and sell you as many products as possible all in one go. So I think the shop, the look is, with Charlotte Tilbury, they're the first ones to establish that sort of concept. So I think it could be quite similar to how...
Yeah, maybe they're kind of starting to do that more. That's just like my opinion. Obviously, that's not Bible. But
normally it is, right?
Like, can you tell me your opinion is right no matter what?
I've got Dura in here this time, so it's slightly different.
But what you're saying is makeup, cosmetics is more bespoke to the individual, whereas clothes is like, oh, I like that, and then you find something for yourself.
Yeah, I mean... Do you know what? I think with makeup, the other thing is as well, you don't know what it's going to look like on you. Whereas if you see a model who's like around the same kind of size as you, and obviously they have plus size clothes now, so it kind of fits for everyone.
Why did you look at me when you said that?
I didn't! Oh, that's so untrue. But you'll see like an outfit and you can see whether you think that would fit your shape, and it's very easy to just click and buy it. Whereas I think with makeup, I think what Drew touched on earlier with, you know, not being able to know what foundation you wear, there's a shade that you are, and then there's whether you have a yellow hue or a pink hue to your skin, and things like lipstick, people are always going in and going like, what color lipstick shall I buy, and they always want to ask the counter person to tell them.
I mean, it's true with if you did it via an app, it might not be an accurate representation of what it would look like on you in real life.
Actually, I was just going to ask you about that. So with apps like Sephora, and I think Benefit, and quite a lot of apps offer this service where it's almost like a Snapchat lens. Mm-hmm. So it does facial detection and then applies lipstick or looks to your face. You can kind of preview it. How, I don't know if you've tried those and how accurate you think those results are.
I think there's a risk of it, particularly with foundation. I mean, there would be a risk, but at least you are sort of closer to knowing what could match your skin tone. And I think maybe in a way it takes away that painful spot of, oh, I have to actually go in store, I have to be, you know, kind of bombarded by the sales people to buy more products rather than just the one item that I wanted to buy. No mess, no fuss, it's just, you know, a click of a button, I might actually get the right shade. But then again, you are at a risk of buying something that could potentially not match, or you might not really like in real life. But I still think the concept is amazing. I mean, it's where the future of cosmetics should be going.
So how would that affect the cosmetics industry? Presumably a lot of their trade is brought on forcing women to come into, effectively forcing them to come into department stores where they can upsell them with a bag and extra goodies, and maybe they don't view it so positively. If you did it all from home and just got what you needed and you knew what you needed, then they're going to see a drop in revenue, aren't they, from the footfall kind of...
Well, interestingly, I actually saw for the Makeup Genius app, which is by L'Oreal, they said they had quite a bit of feedback about people trying the products on the app, but a lot of them didn't actually buy through the app. Then they preferred to go in-store and try something different on, or because they had quite a fun experience using the app, it made them want to go in store and find out which other products were available. So I think there is a potential that people, just as with ordinary shopping, that you, for convenience, you might only buy online, but there's also a possibility that you might actually attract more people in store because they've had a positive experience using the app.
I guess you probably wouldn't do the technology thing, which most people do, where you go and look at technology and, like, I don't know, a TV and curries or something like that, and then go online to buy it.
Yeah.
I guess if you've got a salesperson in front of you pressurizing you, it's unlikely you're going to try on 5 kinds of makeup and say, right, see you later, I'm off to get it on Amazon for half the price.
Exactly, and I think once you've tried it on the app, you might kind of feel like, well, I already know what I need. I can just pop into the store and buy it without having to stop and speak to someone. So
okay. I think a big part of it is it's not necessarily that you're going to go, now you have these technologies, you're going to all of a sudden just buy online. I think it's just a new way of discovering makeup, like... It's all part of the process. Like if you use an, as you're saying, like if you use an app like that, or I think a lot of people do use Instagram now for like makeup inspiration. So it's kind of like the first stage of discovery, and it doesn't really matter where you go and buy it, as long as you're going to buy it because of something you've seen. In terms of like what the future holds, I think me and Gio were talking about this before the podcast. Obviously at the moment it's not perfect because it's a new technology, but I think it's important that people do use it and it gets more smarter, and then it will be an easier experience further down the line, but the technology has to learn first.
Do you see it evolving into like a social thing, like your friends have just bought this, or this style is in within your social group?
Definitely.
Do you feel it more of a practice thing than
definitely, and actually some of them encourage you that once you shop a look, you can share it with your friends on Instagram or Facebook. And on a separate note, I think it's also quite a fun and playful way for people who are not so confident about going out and buying makeup, that they can do it, you know, through their phone, test a few products and then share it with friends. And it's a bit of a boost and, you know, like a fun way to, like you said, discover and experiment.
Yeah, I guess that's one key difference in cosmetics and fashion, is that cosmetics, it's easy enough to send someone out a sample box, a few little samples of things, whereas with fashion, you have to send the whole lot, right? You have to send everything and the person has to try it all on. I know Amazon are experimenting with this service in the US for Prime customers, where you can choose 10 items online. They send you all 10. You try out the things you want. You put the rest back in a box. You send an email to Amazon or send a message to Amazon saying, I'm done. Someone comes in an hour and picks it up, takes it back to Amazon. You just pay for the things you keep. Mm-hmm. That sort of works around this problem of, you know, a lot of places now, I guess, still you have to buy something first and then try and get the refund on it later. And it's more of a hassle. But it's maybe something that only Amazon at this point could really...
ASOS are doing it too.
Oh, they are? Okay.
It's done through an external company. And I don't actually think it's good for your credit rating, apparently. But you can like order 10 things, and at the end when you get to the payment thing, you kind of do it through this other app, and then you can just try them all on, send them back, and then you just pay for what you keep.
Okay, because I remember reading a few years ago, I think they were in Russia, where literally someone would drive around to your house in a little minivan full of different clothes and you just try all the stuff you want. pay for them and then they send them to you afterwards by post, because fashion has that problem, right? For home shopping, it's getting the things to you, which cosmetics maybe is less of a problem for.
You can't send it back. That's the problem. I think that's the thing with foundation as well. Maybe why people are less inclined to spend more money on foundation too. It's like, if I run into Boots and get a £7 Rimmel foundation and it doesn't like suit my skin, it's really not the end of the world. But if you're gonna buy NARS or MAC or Charlotte Tilbury, it's a good like 40-50 quid. So you don't wanna, you need to know that it's like 100% right. And also the other thing is, when you go and get your makeup done in the store, I don't know about you, Dua, whenever I've gone and had it done, I literally look like a drag queen when I come out, because they put so much on you because they're trying to sell so much product. Even if you're like, I want a natural look, I want like I've got no makeup on, you literally look like Cher. And like...
like a chair?
Like Cher.
Oh, right, Cher.
And you don't know what's your foundation because they put on like bronzer and blusher and...
And that's why, in a way, having it, you know, if it's an experience on your phone and, you know, using your camera and trying stuff on that way... it's like a 50-50 chance. I might actually buy it directly through the app, or I might just know this was the colour that I tried on screen, I'm going to go in store and test it for, you know, in real life. So it kind of gives you like the benefit of both.
Yeah, and it's more like personalisation, isn't it? Because you're putting the makeup on your face, whereas like if you go into store, you're just kind of at, you're letting them do what they want to, really.
How do they know if they send you, if you try things on online and they look like they work and you go into store and you buy them and then you take them home and try them on, how do you then like inform an app or a service that these worked on you and these didn't? Is that just done by reviews? How do they build up this personalization profile of you?
Yeah, definitely with reviews. I mean, I don't tend to write reviews unless I've had a bad experience, and it's really bad because I never actually write about a positive product review. But yeah, I guess just having worked on a particular skincare project at the moment, reviews are very important to the company to find out about personalization.
They're important to the company, and I guess they're important to any like learning algorithms as well, that in order to give you the best possible service, they need to know what you liked, what you didn't like, what worked on you and what didn't work on you, which I guess is the drawback of this. If, as you say, most people only leave reviews for super positive things or super negative things, and very few people go, yeah, it was good.
Maybe a way that they can do it, if it was like Charlotte Tilbury, Estee Lauder, if they did something where they put, you did that online and they said, okay, you could be beige number 2 or light beige number 1, and they sent you like 2 little pots for you to test. And then maybe you have to like say which one fit you before you get another. I don't know. I feel like there has to be some kind of give and take there, because I think you're right. We're naturally, we don't give good reviews.
Yeah.
So there needs to be what's in it for me.
Certainly with like the promise of personalization is that it knows what's perfect for you and just gives you recommendations before you've even asked for them. But in order to have that, like all machine learning, it needs labeled data. And I guess that's the challenge of knowing, and especially if like, you know, you might mix cosmetics from loads of different brands, and how do they know that actually you like the MAC, and I'm going to show you that. I'm already running out of things to say. The MAC mascara and the Benefit Charlotte Tilbury lipstick.
And the Charlotte Tilbury foundation serum.
Well, that's the problem as well, is... consumers are actually not loyal to one brand. They like to mix and match, whether it's based on cost or how it feels on your skin or word of mouth and like, you know, recommendation from friends and so on. So that's actually another issue, is that how can they capture all this data in order to make sure that this personalization is really coming through?
That was going to be one of my questions as well. Why don't you do it like I go shopping? I just buy shed loads of everything, then I never have to bother again. Or you just get loads of the same makeup you know you like and then just wear it every day.
It's too expensive.
Too expensive, and also...
And you like to change sometimes.
You like
not to
do
change.
Like jumbo size lipsticks or something.
And then when you wake up in the morning, you just come down like automatically. And
also,
you could jump out of bed.
It's to do with like your... I have my day makeup and my night
makeup.
And like I'll always wear a good foundation now, because I think for your skin it's really important that you know what you're putting on your skin. But like lipstick, eyeliner, bronzer, highlighter, eyeshadow, like I have lots of different ones, and I'll use more expensive ones for like when I go out. And so I think that's
Also I think we're so inspired by what we see on, for example, Instagram, or what, you know, the latest products that celebrities are using. So when there is something new, it's more tempting for you to not buy it. So, and it's really hard to just stick to one brand, because you follow so many different influencers and celebrities that you want to experiment with the same things that they're using.
I think that's a really interesting point as well about kind of trends. So this is the same across fashion and cosmetics. For example, last year, did you know what highlighter was?
No.
I didn't even know it existed, where it was like everyone's contouring
the
their face.
Used to mark up.
No!
Highlighter!
Yeah, so like now what girls do is they put like big kind of brown marks on their cheekbones and on their nose and on their heads, and it's like a Kim Kardashian thing, and then they highlight, it's like Instagram ready.
Like you can make your nose look
thinner. You can make your nose look so much thinner just by contouring.
Right.
And like that wasn't a thing.
I use Snapchat lenses for that. I use the Snapchat beautifier lens on all my photos though.
Yeah, but that makes you look good for like 2 seconds.
It makes me feel good forever.
But yeah, I think that's, it's true. And with fashion, like, you know, PVC trousers, 2 years ago you would have looked like Ross from Friends, whereas now everyone's wearing leather trousers. It's just, it's going to change, so that's something that they need to think about too.
Yeah, leather trousers did take a bit of hiding a few years back.
Something that I was thinking about the other day that's really like interesting is, you know, like moisturizers, and you were saying serums. So you're supposed to put these on your face before you go to sleep and blah, blah. I actually went into Kiehl's the other day and they told me that I didn't in fact have oily skin. I had underhydrated skin. So I've been putting kind of like oily products. No,
like
unoily products on my face. No, like, well, I don't know what they're called, but basically trying to take the oil out of your face, because I thought my face was oily, and actually it turns out it's just underhydrated, so I've had to get new moisturizer for that, my skin's improved. And I wonder how that, we can use technology to help that, because you can't actually see that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think at the moment, a lot of the cosmetics brand, it's mainly makeup driven, and there aren't that many who are exploring the area of where they can take skincare forward, or your, you know, a skin ritual or your nighttime ritual. So a project that we've been working on in the background is to help consumers establish a nighttime routine, and how this will make their skin look really good in the morning. So it's that to minimize using makeup and just embrace your beautiful, flawless skin. So with technology and having an app, for example, that could give you suggestions about what sort of routine you might need based on diagnosing your skin type, some other tips, maybe it's around sleep, or it's around the kind of things that you do before bed that could have an impact on what your skin might look like the next day. So I think that's definitely an area that can be explored further.
So what about bringing more intelligence in, like you were suggesting, maybe like the humidity levels in your house, or the temperature, or the weather, or
exactly.
If it knows your calendar, you've been up the night before till late, and you need to be rejuvenated with some rejuvenation microbe serum?
Exactly, or if like you said about the calendar, if you're going on holiday, it might suggest to you that you're going to be going away, you need to have more SPF, or you might be going somewhere that's actually a cold holiday, and you might need a moisturiser that's better to keep your skin hydrated all the time. So I think, yeah, that's definitely an area that we can definitely look into.
We might be exploring it already.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again soon.
Yes. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Everything's a serum. Why is everything a serum these days?
Because it's inspired by science.
Ah, okay. Suddenly everything's twice the price than a serum. You need some nutritional microbe serum.
Wow, that was...
Don't be sarcastic.
Wow, that was fascinating.
Here's something I made
it was
up,
actually
yeah.
Really nice to have Jua and I doing most of the talking for once. It's usually Gordon and Peter nattering away.
So well, I hope I can come back.
Yeah, you can.
Anytime, you're better than both me and Peter.